Did you say Worcestershire?
Worcestershire.
I call it Worcestershire.
Worcestershire? Some people call it Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcestershire. I can't even, I mean, Worcestershire.
Come on, take a ride. We're here by your side. Sit down, shut up, and grab a drink. You're healing with the Disco Queens.
Hello, groovy people. I'm Alex.
And I'm Susanna.
And we're healing with the Disco Queens. So if you're new here, we have been friends for 10 years.
A whole decade.
Literally a whole decade. And so this is the podcast where we kind of recap our 20s and things that we've gone through. Because let me tell you, we have been through stuff.
The ringer.
We've been through the ringer. And we give advice to our past self.
Yeah. So if you are bored out there and want to listen to a really funny podcast because we think we're hilarious.
Because we are.
Yeah. Then, you know, maybe grab your little Disco Queen. Grab yourself. Grab a little snack. Sit down, shut up, and grab a drink.
And listen.
Because we are about to dive in.
We are diving in.
Yeah. Tonight we are going to be talking about finding yourself. Mm-hmm. Finding ourselves and sharing our story on what that's like. I mean, I feel like we're still finding ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
You never really peak, right?
Right. If you are a regular, welcome. You know that we never peak. We're going to peak in the grave.
We're going to peak in the grave. So.
But also, I think the 20s, it has this reputation of finding yourself. I just need to find myself, right?
Going on a healing journey of finding myself.
And so I think if you're new here, we name all of our episodes after a song. And what song's more fitting about finding your true self than Diana Ross?
I'm coming out.
Yes. And so, specifically, the line that said, there's a new me. Because I feel like when, especially in your 20s, when I look back at things I did at 18, 19, or how I thought at 18, 19, I'm like, who is she? I don't even connect to that version of myself anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, as you find yourself or get into your own groove, you might not even connect with that version of yourself, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I really think that tonight's all about grace to ourselves and figuring out not only kind of where that took place for us, but also just kind of honoring our past self.
Yeah. There were some other lyrics that we thought kind of like resonated with the theme too. And one of them was, there's a time for me to come out of this shell. And I think that that was like super.
Period.
Yeah. No, and literally. Period. And you're like coming out of your shell. You're blossoming. I'm wearing butterflies tonight for a reason.
I must say, like you are out of the cocoon. Mm-hmm. There's so much unknown. We're about to get into it. But there's so much unknown.
Yeah.
For the first 18 years of your life. Like. Yes. What is even life? Yeah. And so here we are, thrusted into all of this. There's mm-hmm. no manual.
Exactly. And so we have to figure it out on our own. It's really a mystery almost, you know? Because it's like, it's a scavenger hunt. I'm out there finding myself. I'm on a journey.
There's just no clues to this escape room.
No. Life is an escape room. Oh my god. Yeah,
how
I mean.
How morbid. Well,
dang. That put a new perspective on life. That's crazy. You gotta find the key. That's the key to life.
Oh no.
Yeah, well, the other lyric that I loved was, all my abilities are so much more to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so much more to the world. Like, you have all these abilities and we have to find what they are, which we're going to dive into. Like, finding our abilities, our talents, our interests, our everything, and what shapes us to who we are.
Yeah. And, like, like we said, we always joke saying we're not gonna peek until the grave, like ha 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 ha. But I don't know, like I do think that, I don't know, it'd be interesting to do this again in 5 years and be like, wow, look at what we were talking about. Look at what we were doing.
Exactly.
Or even 10 years at our 20-year mark.
Oof. I can't even think about that.
Gray hair just popped up in my head. But
I do have gray hair.
No.
I love it, though. I love it. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
So, with our song, of course you know that we got our drink.
Our little drink. So, tonight, we are drinking the Bloody Mary. Cheers. I realize I do the same thing every single time.
Cheers. Mm-hmm. Are we robots?
Are we AI? That's a whole other key to life question. We're just gonna dive deep and like put out these like,
we're actually conspiracy theorists.
These like, what are they called? When you ask a question that don't need an answer.
I don't know.
The rhetorical question. Oh. We're going to ask these questions, so think deeply, okay? So tonight, with our Bloody Marys, we chose this drink because we feel like you have to have kind of an adult palate to drink this drink. It's also very complex, as the human is. All humans are very complex creatures. And so all the ingredients put together with the spices and the Worcestershire and the Tabasco or whatever. And like, and then if you want to have a garnish, I don't have all the garnishes in my fridge, but if you want to have all the garnishes, it's traditionally like a whole charcuterie board. So yeah. But yeah, there was something else that I thought you brought it up earlier because in one of the bloopers, we were like, oh my gosh, just throw all the tomatoes at me.
Yes.
And I thought that was interesting. Yeah, because we're drinking a Bloody Mary, which is obviously tomato juice. Tomatoes. And, you know, life kind of throws tomatoes at you sometimes.
Oh, yes.
You know, and people are going to throw tomatoes at you and say, boo, like you're terrible.
Boo.
And so all the more reason for you to find yourself and know exactly who you are and be all about yourself.
Well, I was about to say, it's almost like even when people are throwing tomatoes at you, it's you're comfortable with yourself. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, this is not just for our girlies or boys or theys and themsies.
Themsies.
This is not just for all of our little youngins out there that are like, oh my gosh, like I love listening because like I have no idea what I'm doing. This is literally for everybody because these are the conversations that like we've had over our friendship, but like anybody at any age can sit there and feel uncomfortable with themselves. It's like maybe we're just in the cocoon and it's time to be a new butterfly.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty little butterfly.
Exactly. And who's to say that you don't go on multiple self-healing journeys and like self-finding journeys and go back into the cocoon, go back to the drawing board, like, okay, well this didn't work out for me, so let me pivot and try and find something else. Like,
we're going to put a pin in that because I have a really good point. Cool. But it's for later. So fast
forward. We have to make it an hour.
We
can't cut to the chase.
We can't. I have a really good, something that was told to me. But it's definitely for further down the line in our little story time here. So,
story time.
Let's get started.
Once upon a time, in 1997, yes,
all the way back,
Susanna Brown blossomed into this world, a little May baby Taurus herself, and I truly, like, I've always been this, like, outgoing person. My family, when I was a kid, always called me this happy little dancing girl. Because I've always just been this little, like, happy-go-lucky, you know, always wanting to see the party and see people. And I've always had FOMO and all these things. And so we make this joke about me and my brother, who's 4 years younger than me. And my baby picture was just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I'm ready for everything. Here I am. And Ben was asleep in his picture. And so, like, the dichotomy between the two of us. But that's just who I've always been. And so I've always known that part of me, but it's like, okay, well, how do I put that into, like, functioning, right? Like,
into
who I
functioning.
Am. Yeah, so I can't just, like, dance around and be happy and...
No, all I think,
make a living.
No, but seriously, like, I think that's one thing, not to interrupt your story real quick.
That's fine.
But I think that people think they have to be happy all of the time.
Yeah.
And that's a false statement. Yeah. That is false information. We are not made to be happy.
Yeah.
And I know, like, there have been plenty of times that I've heard that's actually can become a trigger when someone's like, why are you just not the happy-go-lucky little kid that you used to be? And you're like, because I'm a grown adult and, like, I'm pissed off. Like, there's so many feel like that feel that can become, yeah. I'm not going to say it's always,
yeah.
It can become invalidating.
No, yeah, absolutely. And, like, I don't know, like, I talk to my patients, too, all the time, just about, like, emotion and how you should have all of them. Like, a healthy human has all of the emotions, and it's totally valid, right? And emotions are temporary, you know? And that doesn't define who we are as people, but we are supposed to feel all of them. And so, you know, it's not normal for someone or like me to just like walk around and be happy all of the time, because it can be very draining. And I realized that very quickly too, is I would feel like I have to be happy for everybody. I have to put on that face. I have to go and be happy for other people. But it is so exhausting because I have bad days too, believe it or not. And so being able to like recognize that and then not stick in any emotion, right? Not stay there, but being able to feel all of them. Yeah. So I'm glad you made that point about emotion, because that's valid.
Yeah, no, I skipped a little bit ahead, but it's okay.
That's fine.
Back to your story.
Yeah. So anyway, that was me just kind of growing up. And then I wanted to dive into kind of the activities that I experienced growing up, because that was a big part of me of like, okay, well, like, what are my interests? What do I want to do? Right. And so my parents were very gracious with both me and Ben of kind of that experimentation when we were kids. And I started doing dance at a very young age, probably at like the age of 3. Because I remember I started when I was living in Savannah. Mm-hmm. And so I did dance, and I have all these cutie little pictures of me in my little outfits. And they're so cute. I did like all different kinds of genres of dance with that. And then when we moved across the state, I still kept up with dance. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 1 year in the first grade. And then I started doing piano lessons because I was like, let me try and do piano. And that was really the first time that I got into music. Because, of course, like, I did dancing and I was in music, right? Like, listening to it and stuff. Right. And I grew up with my parents. If you guys know me, like, personally, I came from, like, a very musical family. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, my parents exposed me to all different kinds of music. And, yeah, so I really started my actual music learning probably at the age of, like, 7. And I took piano lessons. Mm. And then I didn't want to do dance anymore. And I kept up with piano. But then I was like, I really want to do basketball. Because everybody told me I was tall, right? And so I was like, okay, let's do basketball. Why not? And I did that for like 2 years, probably. And so I don't think I did piano during that time. And my parents always joked with me that I was like watching the cheerleaders the whole time. And like I was sitting on the basketball bench like watching the cheerleaders. And so eventually I was like, nah, not doing basketball anymore. Let's do cheerleading. So I really loved getting into that. And it was kind of back into that dance mode too, like choreography and doing the stunts. I was a backdrop.
I was backdrop.
Also, I did theater, so I was tree number four. I was the back spot. So, love doing stunts, love cheering. And then when I was in the fifth grade, we were able to start band. And so this is where I really kind of like started finding myself musically. And I joined the band. Well, I wanted to play the drums because I thought that they were super cool. And they're very cool. And as a little fifth grade girl, there weren't really girl drummers, right? Because that's a whole thing. And then I had a friend that was like, no, you should play the flute because I'm playing the flute. And so that was really where it started of kind of like, oh, okay, I'm going to do these things for other people. And we talked about that of like doing things for other people, not because you want to, and boundaries. We've been over this. Go watch that episode.
Listen, just backtrack a few episodes.
Backtrack, yeah. But yeah, it was at that age of just like, you know, kind of entering into that middle school era. And I played the flute and did that all throughout middle school, kind of continued with cheerleading. And then when I hit high school, I moved. And you couldn't do both. You couldn't do cheer and band. Mm-hmm. So I chose band. And guess what I did in band?
And period.
I did drums. I did the drum line and loved it. I played snare. And that was like my whole realm. That was my whole life. And I was in choir because I loved singing in the choir and stuff. And yeah, I mean, and now look at me now. I'm like a music therapist doing music every day. And yeah. Play guitar now, which is super cool. And right. Yeah, so kind of looking back at finding who I was, like I did get a musical training at a very early age and I dabbled a little bit in sports, but I think that really kind of diving into that activity kind of what's it like finding your niche, you know? I found it like at a really early age.
Yeah.
And so just as far as that goes, I think that that's where I found that part of myself. But.
And then. So yeah, I feel like for me, you're talking a lot about middle school and like, I don't know. Middle school is definitely like the first time I remember having thoughts of like, oh, do I not fit in? Like, do I, what's happening? Like, And I think that's kind of like the natural progression of childhood, of teenage, preteen, where you start, people start playing sports, people start joining clubs, people join band. Like, you have all these different facets that people start going towards. And middle school was pretty rough for me, not in the sense of like not fitting in, but like there was some bullying going on, of course. But I really remember when I transferred into high school, I was like, what if no one likes me? Like, what if I don't have friends? Because I'd gone to school with the same people for 8 years. So here I am going to high school, to a brand new high school, and I was so nervous about fitting in. So much so that I barely talked my freshman year. Like, one of my teachers walked up to my mom and was like, hey, is your daughter okay? Like, side note, if you're new here, my mom taught at my high school. And so, like, they're like, is your daughter okay? Like, she never talks in class. Because I was terrified of saying the wrong thing, of doing the wrong thing. I just wanted people to like me so much that I literally would shake and like break out in hives when I had to like stand up and talk in front of people. I remember I cried when I had to do a presentation one time. I could feel it brimming, and like they had to give like a critique of my speech, and I was just like, I don't want to be here right now. Please make me sit down. And so I feel like high school was really the first time that, not first time, but like when I really wanted to probably be something, not want to say be something that I wasn't, because like I played sports, I loved that. I loved being involved, I always try to be the most authentic, but I always wanted to be nice, and I never wanted to step on people's toes, and I never wanted to, like, say the wrong thing and always be very diplomatic and all of this. And as I have grown up and as I've grown into my own voice, I realized that, one, that's just not realistic. Two, I had so many expectations for myself in high school. Like, it was sickening. And I think we're going to get into this in just a second, but this idea of all of these expectations that are put on us and who we are supposed to be, maybe it's by our family, maybe it's by ourselves, maybe it's by society, and maybe it's all three. But these ideas of who we are supposed to be is literally insane. It's literally, it drove me crazy, because the minute I fell out of that mold and I fell out of line of what I was supposed to be in college, I was not mentally well. I literally skipped. I was not in class for 2 weeks. My teachers were asking where I was. I was not okay. And I was stressed out all the time. And so that kind of leads into the next point. But unless you had anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, and all of those different things, right? Like, I tried all of the different things because truly it was like, who am I? You know? And I think we were kind of discussing this of, like, defining my own worth. And I feel like I was seeking it from other avenues and other people. Because my high school career and middle school definitely was about finding that acceptance from other people. And so even just like me deciding to play flute, that wasn't my decision, you know? Being on the cheer squad, like the popular girls were on the cheer squad. And so I wanted to have validation from them and acceptance from them. And so that's where I went. And, then, of course, boys.
Oh.
And, you know, like, wanting them to like me or whatever. And so that was, like, all throughout middle school and high school. And we are trying to still break away from that. But. So, I don't know. But just, like, defining my own worth. And that really didn't happen until, like, quite recently in my 20s.
Truth facts.
And I'm working on it. So, but yeah. Yeah. That and needing acceptance from others. And I think that, like, changing who I am for other people. Like, I remember one time. This is terrible. Speaking of boys. This guy was, like, super, super religious, okay? Like, I grew up in the church, so I get it, you know, whatever. But he was, like, it was wild, some of the things that he would say and believe, and anyways. So, he, like, told my family, who, my dad worked in the church, like, told my family that we needed to pray more. Told me that, wanted me and him to, like, do devotions together. And then that during that period of time, I literally, like, read devotions every day and, like, prayed every day. And that's just, like, that's not me. And that's okay if that is you. I'm not saying that, but that's right. Not Susanna. And so now, even coming into this era of my life and being more on the spiritual side than anything, me looking back at my high school self, I was like, yeah, that ain't it. That's not me. But it was me changing that part of myself and doing those things for someone else. And not even for a belief system. It was literally for somebody else. And so those were just certain, like, just an example of something that I would literally do for other people. And, I mean, even down to, like, dressing a certain way just to impress certain people, listening to certain kinds of music because other people listen to that. Like, all of these different things I had define of myself from other people's interests. Yeah.
Ooh, girl, we can go down the whole college list, because I distinctly remember when we became friends and then you started hanging out with a different set of people, and I'm over here like, what happened? Not what happened, that sounds terrible. Not that they weren't bad people. It's always
comes back. It just wasn't me.
Exactly. It always comes back to the idea of, like, I knew who Susanna liked, what Susanna liked. Very, like, musically inclined and, like, wanted to go out and see the city and, like, explore and things like that. And that just wasn't this particular group of people. And that's okay, because everybody has their own flavor, everybody has their own taste, and that is totally okay. Mm-hmm. I just knew it wasn't Susanna. I was like,
yeah. I mean, there was an extremely pivotal moment for me, I think. Are we ready to dive into that?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the first pivotal change for me was graduating college and... Well, I mean, because there were, like, some leading factors up to that, like, being in college and just the whole, like, nobody cares if you're popular anymore. Yeah. Like, nobody cares about that, or, like...
College is about networking.
Exactly. Whatever. And so just finding that part of myself of, like, oh, this person doesn't care. Like, I know I'm cool, you know?
I'm a cool girl.
Get with the program. I'm a cool girl. But I think... As far as, like, finding a deeper level of Susanna Brown was graduating college and going to Bonnaroo.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what this video was supposed to have been recorded at.
So, if you have been following along with us, because we totally forgot to mention this, we've been on a hiatus because...
We've been mourning.
Girls have been tired. There's a lot going on. Last time we said, we have a surprise for you, teehee. Well, the surprise, we were going to record at Bonnaroo. It was my first time going, your third. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we were going to record in our tent. We were going to show you all the details of our tent. And if you know by now, Bonnaroo was canceled.
Yeah.
We don't speak of her. We don't speak of it.
Yeah.
Because we're still, that time didn't exist. It yeah. feels like a fever dream.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and we met some amazing people along the way. And honestly, I really, like, shout out to our two blue people. But I feel like Bonnaroo happened for us to meet them.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, honestly, if you just happen to stumble upon this podcast and you happen to be any of our
They're going to be our roommates.
You're going to be our roommates.
Move here, please.
If you are any of our neighbors, like, I hope that, like, you hear it. And, like, we miss y'all because it was such a beautiful experience. Yeah. And I can totally see why you would say your first experience of, like, genuinely finding self-love and, like, coming into your own was Bonnaroo, because yes. even though we came in on Tuesday and then left on Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. Even in, like, yeah. the time period that we were there and, like, the stuff that didn't happen, there was just the energy and, like, the magic of it all of just
yeah,
self-acceptance and... Yeah. No judgment, and, like, our poor neighbors directly beside us, their poor tent literally flew across. I mean, we watched it because we were sitting in the car with the air conditioning on because we were dying, and we watched it, and, like, everybody, all of the neighbors came together. We were, like, untangling their stuff, and so just kind of that, like, selflessness
mm-hmm.
is very rare and far to come by.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I can see why you would say your first time is, like, because, like, I only experienced a true, technically, I only got experienced 24 hours of the actual festival.
Yeah, yeah. We saw, like, we got to go into Centuru, like, the first day, like, on Thursday. And so we saw, Dom Dalla. Like, shout out. Literally, I literally love him. We got to see him. Incredible. And he closed down the festival because
he said, was, and good night.
And good night.
Good morning and good
night. Thank you and good night. I mean, literally. So, I don't know. But yeah, my first experience with Bonnaroo, I came upon a whole genre of music that had like trickled by in my life, but I did not know EDM for what it was until I went to Bonnaroo and I started studying the kind of music and was like, as a drummer, bruh, like that is what I needed in my life. And yeah, like, you know, we would go to clubs or whatever in college, but it just wasn't the same. Like, it's not the same thing. With EDM comes a whole community of people, and if you know, you know. Like, Plur, peace, love, unity, respect. Like, it is a whole thing. And like trading candy and getting sprouted and like, you know, flow art. Like, it is a literally a whole thing.
It's a whole culture.
It is a culture. And I found that part of myself, and I have never looked back. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I have been going to these festivals and going to raves, and it's just like progressing even more. And yeah, I can dive more. I just, you get the spotlight.
Yeah,
I can talk for days.
That's the problem. We could both talk for days, and that's about, why, yeah. This is why we start filming at 12:00 at night.
No, oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I think that looking back, so when we start creating like our list and kind of our today, I just took it as an interview to ourselves. And I was like, what are our interview questions? Mm-hmm. And the question was, like, what was the moment that you genuinely felt like yourself? And I just remember, because we were sitting by the pool, and I was like, I have no idea. I've always felt fairly authentic, minus, you know, like that typical teenage, I want everyone to like me, I want to be popular, I want to like do this and I want to do that. And I think that's pretty stereotypical. I wouldn't put it outside of a norm. But I would say probably the one of the most authentic times I've had was meeting Susanna. We've already talked about this, but I'm gonna say it again, and I'll say it over and over again, because it's not just like when we met, but all growing up, I was very well supported in the idea of like the arts, and kind of, I rarely was ever told no if I wanted to do something. So I was like, oh, I want to go to this camp. Okay, well, let's see if we can make it work. That was typically, mm-hmm. Let's see if we can make it work. Yeah. I played sports growing up. I was on travel ball teams. I went to camp. I did art competitions. Like, I was very busy. I would go and spend weeks with my cousin. So, like, there was a lot of things that would happen. And so, typically, I didn't feel this kind of, like, repressive, how dare you be this person.
How dare you be that?
How dare you be that? However, one thing that would always come up when I was a kid was I was a very rambunctious, very just dramatic, over the top. I may have to include in our video, I may have to include a picture of me when I was like, I think I'm 4. And like, you can just see the sass. I'm just a very, I love a good theme. I love a good party. And if you say, hey, dress up like this, I promise you I will be, hello, have y'all been following along?
Hi.
Hi. Like,
this is Susanna and Alice.
And so, like, my family, as much as they supported me, I was still kind of this, like, weird little peacock in a bunch of, like, cardinals. Like, everyone showed bright, they were very supportive, but they're like, hey, like, you're a little dramatic, you're kind of loud, we need to tone it down. Not in a mean way, but also
dampening your light.
And yeah, and so I internalized that, and then we've talked about this in our very first episode, but that when we were walking across campus, and here we are just screaming and yelling and just being stupid.
Polar bear.
And I think that was A, one moment. But B, even more so, to compound on that, I think you can be goofy and silly and joking with a lot of people. But I think it's the creative energy that happens between us. Mm-hmm. And like, when we throw a party, we throw a party. Susanna's like, oh, and we can have this, and we can do this, and I'll make this. And I'm over here like, ooh, we can decorate like this, and this is going to be this room.
Yeah, and it's going to be big.
And it's going to be dramatic.
Because why not?
Because we only live once.
Yes.
And if there's anything, we will capture an essence. You will capture the vibe.
We are the party.
Correct. And so, I think that was the other half of just like, I'm like, okay, so you see your apartment, we're actually going to turn it into a cave, and we're going to put glow lights in your ceiling. And Suzanne's going to be like, okay, cool, great. What am I making? What should I make? Oh, I'm going to make this dip, and I'm going to make this, and this is going to be the theme drink.
And everything's a theme.
And everything's
obviously
a theme.
Obviously. No, yeah.
And so I definitely think that was kind of like the first glimpse of like, hold on, maybe there is space for me. Maybe I don't have to always sidestep myself, which then kind of led into like my other two. So I don't ever feel like I broke through. I feel like there were like little bitty cracks, and then a little crack, and then it was like, okay, hold on, I understand. And I moved to Louisville for 2 years to get my master's. And during that time, I was living everything I had ever wanted. I didn't want to stay in my town. I didn't want to, like, I needed to experience something.
Yeah.
As everyone should.
Yeah.
And that really, and like, I made new friends, and like, they had other experiences, and we just talked, and like, it was just a good experience. And then I think the last major moment that I think I finally busted through was like, who am I? What do I want out of my life? What do I need for my soul? I don't want to work in this career for 50 years and become this soulless creature.
Yeah.
And so I think the last thing was leaving my job, which we've already talked about that.
Yeah.
And so, like, leaving my job, having the nerve to leave my job, and genuinely be like, hold on, what do I want out of this? Instead of just like, okay, I'll just go to 9 to 5 and like, this is what I'm gonna do. And I, of course, that comes with some privilege of, I've been very fortunate with the people who have been in my life, and my grandparents have been completely fortunate to help support me during that time. And not everybody's in that position.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think with that being the final breakage, I think that's why that episode was so important. Mm-hmm. This episode's important, but that was probably the one I connected the most to, because we are told from the time that we are in kindergarten, what do you want to be? Oh my gosh, you're so cute. What do you want to do when you grow up? We are told that for so long.
Right.
But then, and then you do it, and you hate it. And you literally are like, what am I supposed to do with my life?
Right.
And you stop questioning the thing, and you start questioning yourself. And so, like, there was a lot of hardship during that and after that, but I think I came out shinier on the other side, and was like, no, here's what I can do, and here's what I can do with this, and like, look at all these ideas. I started having ideas again. Which, if you know me personally, dude, like,
it will, like, dampen your creativity. Let me tell you something. When your battery is on completely low and even negative at that point.
Yeah.
Because that was me during my internship. Mm-hmm. And I told my supervisor multiple times, I was like, I do not have a sense of creativity. Because I'm not getting fulfilled. And so, like, I'm just here showing up and I'm not getting fully, like, fulfilled, and I'm not being creative. And so not being able to have ideas and not being able to, you know.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. No, it was rough. And so I think now I haven't been in that position for 3 years. And I went back to school. We already know all this. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've just now in the past about year, like, genuinely have felt myself like, hold on, have I been asleep this, not asleep, have I been depressed this entire time?
Yeah,
like, I think it's okay to sit here and question, like, what am I gonna do? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do? Who am I? Like, what is my, and even, like, the further we get into our 30s, there's this, like, doomed existence at 30, like, oh my gosh, you're so old at 30. No. And also, it does put things in a new perspective, and this idea of, I've recently been looking at, like, what my mom was doing at 30, what my grandmother was doing at 30, what her mom was doing at 30, and I'm like, that is crazy. Like, my mom had a 10-year-old at 30. 10 years old. 10-year-old at 30. That would be a whole grown child walking around here, and I was sassy at 10, so, like, a whole nother little me walking around. Like, what?
I don't have money for that. What is that?
Who are you? And so,
no, yeah.
No, it just puts a lot of things in perspective, and not in this woe is me perspective. Or I think their experiences and my experiences can all be held at the same time, and not one's greater than the other. It's just that recognition and that acknowledgement, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This is where we are. And yeah
no, so, absolutely. Yeah, so going back to like, career wise which we have touched on, that was another thing of me finding a part of myself, was diving into education and realizing that was not for me. And so I've kind of talked about that in previous episodes, but being able to assess that and then pivoting from there. And I think you were touching on it too, of, like, you know, figuring out, like, okay, this isn't for me, assessing, like, what do I need out of this life? What do I need in this moment? And it's okay, like, especially if you feel stuck or you feel not fulfilled or you feel like you're not, you know, where you should be in your career, especially. It can be terrifying, because we've talked to friends all the time that feel that way and then stay in their job because it's like, well, you know, it's not like they're not interviewing or not looking elsewhere, but it's so hard to find something else. And then it's like, well, what do? You're not just going to quit your job and then not have anything. So for us, like, we went back to school. So, you know, we quit that job and went back to school. I don't know. If I didn't do that, I don't know where I would be. I mean,
miserable.
Yeah. I remember in 2020, these were the things that I asked myself. It was like Christmas of 2020. And I said, you know, I really love the food industry. I really love bartending and stuff. And I really love traveling. Maybe I should just, like, bartend on a cruise ship. Or maybe I should just be, like, a travel agent. Or maybe I should... And then I was, like, thinking about skincare and how I love doing skincare and makeup. And I was like, maybe I'll be an esthetician. What does that take? I mean, I'm literally looking at all the other things because it's like, who am I? Once again, like, this can't be it. And so I found music therapy and all the different things that I could do with that, and realized, like, that's a part of me. And I'm not negating the parts of myself that want to travel. I'm just trying to figure out how I can do this and. Mm-hmm. And so, like, figuring out, okay, how can I be a therapist and travel? You know, should I go visit these places? Should I live there short term? Like, I don't know. I can figure that out along the way. But it's just, like, being able to assess these things, assess your needs, and then moving forward. As opposed to, like we mentioned earlier, about being in that emotion. You don't want to stay in that emotion forever. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot that I was going to say what I've been told.
Yeah.
We were, and maybe I should save it for the advice.
Save it for advice.
Okay.
Hold the nugget. What did you put a pin in it?
Pin it. I'm going to write it.
So one of the questions that we asked each other was like, when do you most feel like yourself? And when Alex asked me that earlier, I was like, you know, my therapist asked me that. Not that Alex is my therapist, but like my therapist actually asked
actual
me that.
Therapist, not yes. Alex's therapist.
And I told my therapist first and then I told Alex, I feel most like myself when I stopped wearing makeup. And I stopped wearing makeup going to work or, you know, sometimes going out, like going out to eat or something. Because all throughout middle school, high school, you know, whatever, when I started wearing makeup and then like all throughout those years, it was every day. It was every day for me. I wouldn't leave the house without a full face. And because I felt like I had to be this like presentable version of myself that wasn't actually me, that needed to seek validation from others because I didn't have it in myself or I didn't feel beautiful. And so I would have to like do myself up or whatever. And so that was another reason of why I did my makeup like I did, because I was like, you know, I, you know, wear natural hair now. I have not straightened my hair. I straightened my hair at the first episode.
Yeah.
Of this, which was really interesting because that was kind of like pivotal. Yeah. But I have not like fully straightened my hair years. It's been years. And when I was in high school, I straightened it every day. Literally every day, to the point where I actually went a couple months where I blow dried it and didn't straighten it. And it was like really weird for me. But I was trying different things because I was like, you know, oh, I don't want to like have to straighten my hair every day or just like kill it, you know? Yeah. So yeah, no, it's been a thing. And now I just wear my hair completely natural. I love it. I'm growing it out as long as I possibly can. I have gray hair now. I stopped dyeing it because I started dyeing my hair in middle school because I wanted to be blonde. And then look at this one. I went to typically blonde, obviously. But you know what? Like,
once you got blonde best friend.
Yeah. Once I totally found myself, it was just like, I'm going natural. I'm growing my hair out. I'm not straightening it. And I'm not wearing makeup.
I think it's interesting that like curly hair and no makeup was considered non-presentable.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
We could dive into a lot of things around that, but we don't have time for that today.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a future session. We don't know.
But yeah, it was definitely like me going to school, not wearing makeup. And then like now, especially, it is rare, that like really rare that I will on a regular day wear makeup. But I, like if I'm doing this or if I'm going out or whatever, like I love wearing makeup as an accessory now. It's an accessory. It's not to make me look beautiful because I am beautiful. It's an accessory. So yeah,
I don't know if you just felt that like silence in the room. There's nobody in the room with us. It's just us. There's no cats here tonight.
I know.
But that silence in the room because you just dropped that mic.
Yeah.
You said because
I dropped the ball.
You dropped the disco ball.
But and I think jumping ahead. But I think that if I were to tell my younger self that, it would be, you are beautiful. That's it. I know.
Stop it.
I'm about to cry. We might need to pause this.
It's okay. No, because like we always like to end this with the idea of like, what would we tell ourselves if like when we were 18 or 19, or mine was specifically like around the ages of like 22, 24. Mm. What would have I told? What would have? What? What I have told myself. Did I get it right that time?
I'm going to tell myself this now.
So what would I have told myself when I was 22, 24? That's okay. And I think along the same lines, I think if I could sit, even 18-year-old version of me probably need to hear this a lot. But just like, you are enough, you're doing enough. No amount of what you're doing right now is going to prove, because there's nothing to prove. Like, you are enough just the way you are. Breathe. Things will get done. Things will work out, even when it's not how you expect it. And so this kind of goes into what I've been alluding to this entire episode, because I keep forgetting I wanted to say it.
Say it.
So with therapy and licensure and all that, we have supervisors that are over our license. So my art therapy supervisor told me this, and it has stayed with me this entire time. And if she's listening, hi. But it's this idea that you come to the same things in your life, but with new knowledge. So life is this circle. And so we go through our phases. And so we were talking about earlier in this episode of, like, maybe we're constantly finding ourselves, or maybe like we're fine right now. And then like, as we approach our 30s, cause we're already there, as we approach our 40s, like maybe it's a different, you know, and so it's kind of like life is this spiral. And so you're constantly coming to the same questions or the same issue or whatever, but with the different set of knowledge. Mm. And I was like, that is such a beautiful way of explaining literally kind of our process right here, but also just like life in general, that there's nothing that's just like out of place, or that it's like abnormal, or that you're weird, or you're this just horrible, negative, awful person, or you didn't do this. It's, you come to these questions like, oh, I didn't learn my lesson the first time, so here it's happening again. No, life's just doing what life does, and we're going through the cycles of life. And so we come to this cycle again of self-exploration, self-identity, as we go, because you're going to change the faces. Like, literally, not necessarily us anytime soon, but, you know, approaching your 40s. My mom's going to be going through this. My mom's in her 40s, but approaching this right now of the idea of being an empty nester. Your parents are that right now. And so this idea of, what was my identity if it's not my kids?
Right.
What was my identity if it's not being married to my spouse that I've been married to for 30 years? What was my identity if I'm not a teacher when I was teaching for 30 years?
Yeah.
And so like, there's kind of this idea of a lot of self-identification and self-exploration, but also it looks different at each age. And so, yeah, that's what I've been trying to allude to this entire
time. I love that.
It's just a beautiful way. So every time how I use it, because I have those words kind of stuck in my head, and I'm like, this is really interesting. And so when something comes up and I'm like, well, great, here it is again. Like, and I'm like, wait, no, not again. Because I've already been through it once. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that idea that progress, even when you don't feel like you've made any, you might feel like you're starting here, but you originally started here. So even if your progress looks like this and you got to this point, you're still here. Mm-hmm. It's not a line.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
There's your therapy for the day.
I love that. Uh-huh. Well, and I think that's interesting because for me, I resonated that with me setting boundaries. You're going to have to set boundaries in your life. And it's not that situations are going to go away. You can't avoid them forever. And so it's figuring out that healthy way of saying, like, you know what? These are the things that I value. And at some point, I'm going to have to say something. If somebody says something I don't like, I'm going to have to say something. And it's not that I'm going to be, like, mean about it. It's just that I'm going to, you know, kind of question it and say, like, well, what do you think about this? Because this is what I think. or whatever it may be, you know, or with a person, you know, like, hey, this is what I think. I don't really agree with what you're saying, you know, or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, that kind of resonated with me on that.
Well, I know earlier you were talking about being unapologetically yourself, and I feel like that goes right into that.
That was my advice, I'm just saying. And, like, that's what I would say to my younger self, you know, younger people, is just, like, and just everybody, is being unapologetically you. Because just like what we were saying when we met, like, it was just this click of, yeah, we're loud and we're dramatic and theatrical and fun and who cares, you know? Because we love ourselves and then love each other. And, you know, here's the thing. If I didn't find Alex, I'm still going to be myself.
Yeah.
And I'm unapologetically myself. And finding her, I think, just, like, validated that in myself.
Susanna didn't need me, but I needed Susanna. Moral of the story.
No, she didn't. She has potential. More potential. You have a lot more potential.
LOL.
But, yeah, no, like, I was going to say a story earlier of back to the ex. One of the exes that we talked about in episode dose was... There was a situation where I don't know if it's my timbre or I just speak loud. Like, I don't know. I'm like, meet my mother. She loud too. So that's where I get it from, bro. But we were in the car and I was just literally talking like this. And maybe I got excited about something. Okay, whatever, sue me. And he just, like, casually rolled down the window and I was like, I mean, did you fart? Like, what's going on? And he was like, no, you're just really loud. Hey, that's enough. That's enough. Sit down. Like, literally having a trauma response right now. But yeah, no, that happened. And I'm just like, you know what? Then if I'm too much, find less.
Period.
But I don't know.
I have so many thoughts in my head.
I know. I'm like just shaking them away.
They're just
now.
I'm just like. Well, I think. Let me say this. I think going into literally that as I'm trying to gather words because I know exactly who, what, when, and where you're talking about, and I think that is such a thing in our 20s. We are expected. This is where I'm supposed to be in life right now. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is the expectation. And then when things don't go that way, we start questioning, well, I have to stay with them because what if I don't? What if I don't? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And so there's so many, myself included, we get put in situations where sometimes we don't exactly know how to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you said something earlier when we were making our list, and you said this is the only life you live. Like, you're the only you that's ever gonna be.
Yeah.
And I'm,
you're
like,
you're only gonna be you one time.
And I'm over here at 29 years old and I'm like, huh, fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm only gonna be Alex once.
No, isn't that crazy? And I, like, whatever you believe, like, that's fine. I feel like it's all energy, like, we're ever changing, and, like, we're just, like, this ball of energy that's just, like, it never dies, right? Because it's just, like, energy. And, but, like, this one life, in this time period, in this body, in this realm, whatever, one time.
All right, well, as always, I think we yapped enough.
We be yapping.
Maybe more. Maybe we could do more. I don't know.
But yeah. Our computer. What is this? A camera? The camera said no mo.
It said good night, so that means good night. So
it's 111, by the way.
Hey, and so you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you get your podcasts, and check out our YouTube videos as we are posting the video up there. And check us out on TikTok as we do just dumb stuff. And also you can see more behind the scenes and our literal friendship on there. So I guess until next time. So let's
say groovy.
Bye.